Welcome to the Revenue Marketing Report powered by CaliberMind. This is the podcast for marketers trying to expand their leadership skills. I'm your host, Kamala Thompson, and today I'm thrilled to be joined by Jordan Cooney. Jordan, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Hey, Kamala, great to be here. Thrilled to be talking not only with B2B marketers, but anyone who is obviously interested in search and content marketing. My background is a long history within the SEO space that's been getting a lot of news lately, oddly enough. I'm currently the co-founder at Previsible, which is a small SEO agency. Prior to that, I spent 6 years at Searchmetrics, which was an SEO data company, software company, so very familiar with the B2B space. And then before that, I spent nearly 5 years as director of SEO and content development at eBay. So I have a long history in this SEO and content marketing space.
And I think it's going to come in handy because our first topic is spicy. It is digital trends that should stay in 2023. We are in 2024. Yes, I'm saying let's just leave it in the back mirror.
Love it. Yes, absolutely. Probably more than what we can cover in one episode, right? So that's one reality.
I love it.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of different trends that I think should stay in 2023. I think notably, and probably the most common topic for all of our listeners is how we use AI, and that AI will fundamentally take over all of our jobs. Notably anyone who writes content, or creates images or wants to do video work. All of our creativity is useless and the robots are going to take over.
I mean, I have so many feelings, and I've seen this manifest in quite a few different ways. When you and I were talking before recording, we were both talking about, it reminds me of when self-publication became an option on Amazon. Does that make sense to you? And do you maybe want to explain?
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a lot of kind of correlation there. But I mean, more broadly, I think that the first piece about 2023 is that AI just came out of the gates really hard in the year, right? It was this carryover of how both OpenAI made a big splash with ChatGPT, but then just the prolification of just, you know, various other technologies within this space. Everyone from the notable large tech companies to startups were developing some sort of generative AI solution. And that hype created this misnomer in 2023 that candidly left many of us that are marketers or thought leaders wondering, like, is this really a trend? Is this really going to be here to stay? Not necessarily the technology. I think the technology is here to stay. We all know that there's useful applications. Yep. But is it really a displacement type of a, you know, technology, right? Like, the best example I can give you is, and I think this is a really good analogy. It's like, I'm a carpenter, and for years I've been working with a manual screwdriver, and all of a sudden, you know, I've been told that there's an electric screwdriver or drill, as they call it, that can actually, you know, put in more screws than any manual screwdriver can, right? That is what's happened. But the reality is we still use screwdrivers, and there's still a lot of screwdrivers that are sold. In fact, there's probably more screwdrivers sold now than ever before. So clearly there's still a use for that manual element that the, you know, battery powered or at one point electric powered screwdriver or drill can't perform.
That's a great point. And back to the Amazon reference, just to explain it a little bit better. So we went to a fairly regulated industry where there was an approval, a really stringent approval process that was flawed to get authors through to publication. Then that gate was taken away, and now we have so much content that it's very hard to find what you're looking for. If you're looking for a book to read in a certain genre, it's hard to tell the quality. And what I meant by that is I see a lot of companies trying to, or supplementing their content department by having ChatGPT create a lot of the content. And as Google algorithms are moving away from favoring keyword stuffing and all of these other things to favoring things that people engage with and want to consume, it's just becoming a bad idea.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's also it's not just that the access to the concepts exists, whether it be self-publishing or in our conversation here, leveraging generative AI for content production. It's that the utility of them aren't all that great, right, at scale. And I think that's the important piece is at scale. I think there's a lot of people that benefit from self-publishing. I think there's a lot of people that benefit from having generative writing AI technology. But at its scale, it doesn't necessarily yield the same benefit for humanity, consumers, industries, what have you. And I think that's where we miss out on the genuine benefit of how we use this technology.
It just reminds me so much of Jurassic Park and
Yes, we need
that,
dinosaurs back.
well, and it's that line of we were so busy asking ourselves if we could, we didn't ask if we should.
Right.
And I feel like that's really applicable because so much of finding the right content is knowing your audience, your use case, your so many different foundational things. If you get any of those wrong, and we often do at the beginning, you're just proliferating the wrong message to the wrong people.
100%. That's exactly the challenge that I think we all came to identify in the overhype trend of AI is going to take over our jobs, at least our content jobs.
So we went straight for the jugular on this one with
Yeah.
AI. What else should we leave in 2023?
You know, one of the trends that really stands out to me from the past year is this belief that Google is taking over the entire experience, and that Google is the primary arch nemesis or competition that we all have. And it's a complicated one, and it's a complicated one in terms of that the trend for the past 4 or 5 years has certainly been in favor of making Google look like the bad guy, right? They've introduced so many different features. Like if folks are in the travel category, they've got, hotel finders and flight finders. If you're now even in the SaaS categories, they've got, carousels that can show different product or product features that take over more of the SERP. Obviously, we know what's been happening in e-commerce with the introduction of product listing ads and that taking control of Google more in a more definitive way. The interesting component, though, that I hope is the reason this trend needs to die is that as much as Google is the enemy here as they evolve the experience, the reality is that they are still the single largest source of traffic for most websites, and we can't change that overnight. And the reality is that although the rules may change in terms of how we play, it isn't that they're the core enemy and the core evil, arbiter of where and how traffic is going to be controlled or managed or derived from.
Well, they didn't help themselves by getting caught colluding over their analytics capability.
Sure.
However, to your
Yeah.
point, I've learned the, well, I wouldn't say the hard way. I've just learned really quickly that technical SEO can make a huge impact on your site traffic. And it's a simple thing to do. I mean, tedious, but simple. So there are things we can do to make things not only friendlier for Google and other search engines, but also visitors on our site. Who are we really blaming if we're not getting a lot of traffic? We should be holding ourselves accountable for not creating material people want to consume.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that the challenge that Google has today in how they position their future is that the core technologies that they are trying to propagate as the way of solving for the control they have in the market, really aren't as effective and as transparent as we want them to be. I'll give you a quick example. PMax, which has been Google's biggest push on the paid side for the better part of 2 or 3 years now, is really there to kind of break down the different channels or silos that they have to generate users, paid users to your site, whether it be YouTube, their display network, the search ads. But the reality is that there's such a lack of information being shared to the advertiser of how that attribution is working and where am I actually making the best connection with my consumer. And at the end of the day, that's what businesses care about. As much as Google says they care about the user, us as business owners, us as B2B marketers, us as content marketers or search marketers, we care about how to connect with the consumer too, and we need that data and insight.
Totally agree. Going back to the collusion emails that I just
Exactly.
Well, I have one to add to the list. So, and I think it's gonna happen. So speaking of Google, Gmail sender policies are changing, and I would like to leave most forms of automated prospecting cold outreach behind me. I know that's going to make a lot of people angry, particularly salespeople.
Right.
There may be a time and a place, but I think it's created a lot of really bad habits.
Yeah, no doubt. I still fund a lot of people love to ask me questions about like spam and that, you know, SEO is just full of spam and, you know, bad actors and, you know, these people who buy backlinks and do all these malicious things to like create, you know, outcomes in Google search. And I'm like, well, what about email? I mean,
Right?
it's probably the most littered digital landscape that exists. I mean, anyone's inbox or for that matter, anyone's social media direct message box, may it be LinkedIn or even Facebook to these days, is just caked with advertisers and spam and just
Yes.
people trying to contact you for no particular reason at all.
Yeah, and it's funny because I expect it on LinkedIn. I'm not thrilled by it, but I expect it. And then on Facebook, I just get angry. I don't know why. It's like this is not where I talk about business.
I
Please
don't
let
know.
me.
Yeah. I don't know, Camel. I'm concerned about LinkedIn because at this particular point in the year here, when we're recording in January, I think that most of my outreach messages are from some sort of, you know, therapist who's going to change my mental health or a weight loss professional who's going to get me on a new workout routine. And it just feels like, is this really the place for this conversation on LinkedIn? Like, I mean, I appreciate you wanting me to lose 20 pounds, but I don't really know if this is the right place for this.
I think my algorithm's a little bit different because it's MBA programs for women
Yeah.
and the same executive coaching. Yes,
Right.
yes.
Executive coaching. Lots of executive coaching.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy. It's nuts.
I love where this conversation took us. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about why content is more important than ever after I told you why there's so much of it out there. It's going to be good. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to the Revenue Marketing Report. Please tell two friends, subscribe, download, whatever you can helps. And for those of you looking for more great content like this, check out CaliberVine.com.